There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It is the third and final hour of the show, so do keep your thoughts coming in. 4001, asking you for your suggestions of sports stars who've enjoyed alternative careers after retiring from their given sport. If you have got any suggestions, this in light of the fact that Imran Khan, as you've just heard there on the news, has been sworn in as the Prime Minister of the UAE of Pakistan. A number of people have been having their say on that one. If you'd like to get your thoughts in, then feel free. Other suggestions of sports stars who've gone on for alternative careers after hanging up their sporting boots. Please send your thoughts to 4001. In the meantime, we move into the final hour of the show. We're building up to our live game, courtesy of all our friends at TalkSport. That one's coming your way in just under an hour's time. Tottenham against Fulham. We'll get the thoughts of the team in just a few moments' time on that one. In the meantime, please stay in touch with the show. It is myself, Tom Urquhart, in the studio with Carl Rand Rosenfeld and Sean O'Shea. Keep thoughts coming in. 4001.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
With you through until 6 o'clock this evening. Then, of course, we will hand over to all the team for live coverage of our first of two games this evening. The London Derby sees Tottenham against Fulham, followed by another London Derby a little later on. So stay tuned for those. In the meantime, though, there is live action ongoing at the moment. It's down in the Welsh capital. There's been a bit of drama for Sean O'Shea, but no goals as yet.
No, still 0-0 as we move into the last 12 minutes now. But Cardiff just turned the screw now. They've got that the extra man advantage. So had a couple of shots on target finally, and just pushing forward a little bit, as you would expect from Neil Warnock's side. They're lumping it forward and then trying to win the second ball and try and create something. So we'll see now. But it's a bit panicky from Newcastle a little bit. And Cardiff will be hoping they can push on and maybe steal all 3 points.
There has been a goal north of the border, though. And it's gone the way of who, Sean?
It has gone the way of Partick Thistle. They've equalised in the 72nd minute of this cup game. And I'll apologise in advance for the pronunciation of the scorer. But his name is Andrea Mbaye Mutombo, I think.
I'll take that.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good enough. He's not going to hear it anyway, is he? So.
One apiece at the moment. He might pick up on the podcast a little later on. Yeah. Who knows? We'll have more from Sean in just a few moments' time. Feature game at 6 o'clock for you here in the 6 o'clock, I should say, UAE time, 3 o'clock over in the UK, is Tottenham against Fulham. Lots of build-up to this game, lots of anticipation. We'll get team news from Ben Thornley in just a few moments' time. The question on so many people's lips at the moment, though, given, of course, the fact that it's gone viral on social media, is could the Tottenham boss do the Dele Alli goal celebration? Well, he didn't shirk the question. In fact, he welcomed the question when he was asked it during the press conference earlier on in the week.
I tried one time and it was perfect. And no, I promise. And he said, oh, fantastic. That is why you are the boss, said to me, Dele. I can try with two hands. But I think now is a press conference serious. Maybe on the end I will try and show how I can do. No, please. We are in a very serious press conference and conversation, and I think it's better to keep in this way.
So, Pochettino can do it. The question is, can Ben Thornley do it? He joins us live on the line now, courtesy of all the team at Sports Talk, who will be, of course, bringing us the game a little later on. Ben, can you do the Dele Alli celebration?
I wouldn't even attempt it.
It is amazing that it's been all the chat leading up to this particular game, a game that pits two teams from London against each other. Tottenham with a great opening weekend for them, Fulham with a bit of work to do. How do you see the game panning out this afternoon?
Well, if you look at the two sides, you know, one of them going to be challenging at one end, and you would expect the other one to be worried about what's going on at the other end. But you never know what happened. Spurs found it difficult last year to get adjusted to Wembley. They're here again, and it's always difficult when you come up from the the championship, your first win is vital, and the earlier you can get it, the more quickly the players around you will settle down. And what a fabulous time for Fulham to do it in a London derby at Wembley against a team that everybody would expect would turn them over.
I talk a lot about Dele Alli's goal celebrations and the build-up to that. Another sort of byline that's doing the rounds at the moment is Harry Kane and his August kryptonite as well. Surely he's got to break this August goal duck at some point.
I'm pretty sure he will, and somebody with the quality of Harry Kane, you can certainly see him doing that this afternoon. It's really strange that he does have this hoodoo where he can't get a goal in August, but Golden Boot winner in the World Cup, he should be on a real high.
In terms of Fulham, how did you read them in the opening weekend of the season? Because they did a lot of business in the transfer window, but the business they did seemed to come fairly late as well. Are you seeing a team, a squad that has gelled as yet?
Not at all, no. Always difficult wherever you're coming into, at whatever sort of a level, to integrate yourself, especially if you're coming in as a foreigner. Maybe you haven't quite got to grips with the lingo, etc. Communication is key when you're on and off a football field. But I like the way that Fulham went about the championship last year. They played some very, very good stuff with some good players. They've added one or two bits of quality as well in the hope that they can survive in the first season in the Premier League. And like I said, it'd be fantastic for them to get out there and cause what people would think was quite a major upset so early in the season at Spurs.
Ben, looking at Fulham and just staying on that, do you believe they've got enough to survive the season, stay up in the Premier League?
Like you just said, they have done a lot of business. I'm looking at the players that they've got that you would expect could turn it on at this level. It'll be interesting to see Ryan Sessegnon, the new players that they've brought in, and Guisa, and we know about Tom Kearney and the quality that he can bring, and the little bits of brilliance that you can get from the likes of Mitrovic and Andre Schürrle. So I do actually believe with the team that they already had and the players that they brought in and with the manager that they've got and the style of football that they play, that it will be conducive to Premier League football. And I think Craven Cottage is a great place to play your football, and I think that they will survive. Yeah, I firmly believe they will.
We haven't got team news through as yet here in Dubai. We know that Fulham hand a debut to Andre Frank Zambo and Guisa, from what we understand. You got any other team news for us, Ben?
There's been a couple of changes for Spurs from the opening day of the season. Kieran Trippier has come back in from international duty and replaced Serge Aurier at right back. And interestingly, Toby Alderweireld starts as well.
There's been a few question marks over Alderweireld's future at Tottenham. You got any further news on that one for us? And you personally, do you think he'll stay?
I think he probably will now. He obviously can't go to another Premier League club at this stage of the proceedings. I'm pretty sure that if Toby Alderweireld was going to go, he would have gone by now, but certainly don't rule it out in the transfer window in January.
The team's just popping up in front of us as we speak. Interesting to see Andre Schürrle drop to the bench for Fulham, a World Cup winner in his own right, Schürrle. But he was, I don't want to say woeful in the first weekend. He just seemed to be lack a bit of pace for the Premier League in that first weekend. Is that a fair criticism?
Yes, I think it is. I think when you bring somebody in like Schürrle who has had experience in the Premier League at the top level with Chelsea, you would expect him to come in and know what it was all about, especially playing at home in your first game. It didn't really happen for him, but he is one person that they will need to rely on if they are going to get the points that they need, especially at home, to be able to survive what is going to be a grueling campaign for them.
Ben, I really appreciate your time this afternoon. I know that your wingman, Dan Wheeler, the goose to your Maverick, he's stuck in a bit of traffic at the moment, so hopefully he'll be there with you on time for the kickoff a little later on. Ordinarily, we always ask for a prediction round about this time, so Mr. Ben Thornley, over to you. Which way do you see this game going?
OK, I'm going to go 2-1 for Fulham. There we go. Upset the apple cart.
We'll have a bit of that one. Ben, we'll let you carry on and try and practice that Dele Alli goal celebration. For now, though, my friend, thanks very much indeed for your time.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to welcoming Ben out to the UAE sometime soon as well. Ben Thornley, who will be part of the commentary team, courtesy of all the TalkSport team, from 6 o'clock this evening, Tottenham against Fulham. He looking to rock the apple cart there. Let's get the thoughts of our man, Sean O'Shea, in studio. Fulham, give him a chance today?
It's going to be tough for the minute. I mean, Tottenham were very good last week, I think. I think I'd agree with Ben what he said there. I think Fulham are geared up to stay in the Premier League. I think they'll do very well this year. Whether they'll get their first victory today or not, I don't know. I would say they'd be very happy if they get a draw. I would go 2-1, but I would go 2-1 Tottenham, I think, for this game today. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But interesting. Have you tried doing the Dele Alli?
Mate, I've got an 11-year-old son who has been coaching me on this one for the last, about 4 weeks. That hasn't been going on 4 weeks, but certainly for the last week or so, and I'm still yet to get it.
Yeah, I was watching the news yesterday. We were trying to do it on the TV, and I found myself stood in my living room trying to do it, and I thought, what am I doing?
It's amazing how it sort of caught on there.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
you've
crazy,
got
yeah.
people trying it all over the world at the moment. So that's the prediction from Ben. That's the prediction from our man, Sean. What about you, Carlos? Do you give Fulham a chance this afternoon?
Not at all. I think they were a little bit slow to start off, especially against Crystal Palace last week, Tom. They were at Craven Cottage, of course, supposedly their fortress. But I just kind of felt that we know it's a big step up from the Championship to the Premier League. And I just kind of felt that they were a little bit off the pace. Looking at Tottenham, absolute class team. They even got fantastic goal celebrations, which you boys have just been referring to. So, I don't know. I reckon 2 or 3-0. I actually reckon 3-0 for Spurs today. I reckon they'd be way too strong for Fulham.
Let's get some thoughts now from the Fulham manager, Slavisa Jokanović. He is the man in charge down at Craven Cottage this particular season. He's very much looking forward to playing his near neighbours Spurs this afternoon.
It's a great opportunity. At the end, we are fighting, this club is fighting, and I am in this fight and with this, many of these players for have opportunity for facing against this kind of the team is great news for us play against Spurs. We have one experience 1 year ago, 1 year and a half ago, playing FA Cup. Didn't be easy day for us. They didn't change so much. We gonna more or less find it similar starting 11 for Spurs Spurs side.
Let's get back to the thoughts of Maurizio Pochettino. Let's move away, as he kept saying in that press conference, very serious. Press conferences are very serious, so let's not talk about mundane things like Dele Alli goal celebrations. But what about more pressing matters, such as your stadium not being ready for you to play in? Has that rocked the apple cart a little bit for Spurs?
We feel all disappointed, of course, with the announcement from the club this week. I feel so sorry for myself, first of all. For our fans, for the player, for everyone, and of course for our chairman, that he tried with the board and all the people that is involved in build the new stadium to arrive on time. And massive effort, we feel every day, that effort, and cannot deliver from the Liverpool game is a massive disappointment for everyone.
Not too much of a hardship, though, is it, when you can't get into your ground because the seats aren't in already, but you can play at the National Stadium, Wembley? You can't grumble too much, can you, Sean?
No, not at all. I think, but the fans are probably the most disappointed people, because obviously it's new stadium and Tottenham's kind of moving forward and people want them to win trophies. Oh, sorry, the fans want them to win trophies now and challenge for the Premier League. But look, Wembley's not a bad substitute, is it? And they played there last year, so it's not like they're in unfamiliar surroundings. And if it's another few months and another few games that they have to play at Wembley, it's not a big deal at all. Footballers adapt very well. They play away from home every second week, so I don't think it's as big a deal as people make out for the players.
We're going to go to a short break, but not before we brought you up to date with some news from Scotland. Partick Thistle revelling in that equaliser.
They were revelling for about 5 minutes. And then Moussa Dembele popped in the second goal in 78 minutes. And then to add insult to injury, 2 minutes later, Tom Rogic then added a third. And we're now in the 88th minute. And Celtic are comfortably 3-1 up now in this cup game.
Ramon Vega. There's a blast from the past. Ramon Vega. Remember which team you played for?
Remind me, please.
Tottenham, was it?
Tottenham, yeah. Played for Tottenham, but is now can be found not in commentary boxes, not in punditry studios around the world, but in a very swanky office in Mayfair. Because apparently when he finished playing for Tottenham, went out to Celtic as well for a bit after that, he turned to finance. He now works as one of the chief strategists for Stratton Oakmont. one of the big investment firms, based out of Mayfair, and recently admitted that he'd made over £15 million since moving into finance. He's done all right.
Yeah, I might give up coaching and move into it myself.
4001 if you want to also send your suggestions of sports stars that have moved on and turned their back on sport and moved into completely different spheres. If you've got any suggestions, please do send it. As I said, text to 4001 if you want to have your say.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Some goodies coming through on our running theme today, which is sports stars who've moved on to other things during their lives. They finished their sporting careers and then looked to move into other businesses, much like Imran Khan, who's become a politician. There are others as well. I understand that Sachin Tendulkar is sort of loosely involved in politics over in India at the moment. There are all sorts of Sri Lankan cricketers who've moved away from cricket into politics, or maybe the two are intertwined over there more than others, who knows. But also some other good suggestions. Someone sent in Curtis Woodhouse. I can't remember Curtis, but apparently former England under 21, did 4 years at Sheffield United or something like that.
Yeah, Sheffield United.
He then went on to become a professional boxer. I know it's still in sport, but shifted sport completely.
Impressive.
The one we had earlier on that we're questioning as well. Someone sent it in because apparently Lee Bowyer. I remember Lee Bowyer. He was a bit of a. He was a hard man on the Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds United. Yeah, in the glory days.
Apparently, he set up a carp fishing business down in the south of France. But I'm sure he's still in football, isn't he?
He is at Charlton. Yeah.
Chaps, Vinnie Jones. How could we forget?
Oh yes, brilliant. That's a great shout. Yeah.
Eric Cantona as well,
yeah,
wasn't it?
You know,
getting into a bit of acting as well. And one that has been sent through. I think it might be a bit before my time, but John Chiodosi. I had to look this one up. Apparently, John Chiodosi played at Spurs, also got 9 caps for Nigeria as well during his time. If a couple of international caps and a long career at Spurs is not enough, he then chose to move to Hampshire and set up a bouncy castle business.
Not bad. Whatever pays the bills, Tom.
Whatever pays the bills. 4001, if you want to have your say on the matter. Talking of that, let's break away to the football because what's happening, Sean O'Shea?
This could be heartbreak for Cardiff fans. We're literally in the 6th minute of injury time and Newcastle have got a penalty and Kennedy is about to step up and take it now. And this would be absolutely devastating for Cardiff, who had been pushing and almost scored themselves. Oh. And he saved it.
Oh,
he
oh
saved
my word.
It. Oh. Not the best penalty in the world from Kennedy, but a decent save from the keeper. And that would feel like a great point for Cardiff now if they hold on to this.
Tom, in all honesty, the highlight of this game to me has been Vincent Tan's outfit.
Yeah.
What is he wearing? Surely he's got advisors, isn't he? We wait for the final whistle down there. And it has gone. So that is it, is it?
It is, yeah, 0-0. So it wasn't a classic by any stretch. I think there was 30 fouls recorded in this game, four yellow cards and a red card as well. So it wasn't a classic game. But I think Cardiff will be the happier of the two. But then Newcastle will be happy that they haven't come away with defeat after being sent down to 10 men early in the second half. But that's, I mean, to miss a penalty at the end like that's devastating for them.
Let's move our attention over to a couple of other stories that are doing the rounds. We build towards the half-hour mark. Let's get some cricket stories out for you. Danny Cipriani, let's put him into the mix. Why? Yeah, we know he signed a new deal for Gloucester. Yeah, we know he's back in the England fold with Eddie Jones. But for how long? Why? The England international on a pre-season tour down in Jersey was arrested for an incident outside a nightclub. He was then fined £2,000 for assault. And then today, a little earlier on, the fly half was charged with improper conduct by the Rugby Football Union after the incident. Is that fair? Should they throw the book at him? Or should we show a bit of leniency? Carlos von Rosenfeld.
When will he learn? That's all I can say. When will he learn? You know, incident after incident with Danny Cipriani. Not a very good week for rugby players at all, Tom. Of course, George Smith, the former Australian flanker. He was in a bit of trouble in Japan where he had a bit of altercations with a taxi driver. He, of course, has been sacked from his club there and he is now playing for Bristol in the United Kingdom. But I think, you know, Danny Cipriani to me has always been such a great, great talent, but somehow always just seems to slip up when he shouldn't. And I don't know. He's
just got himself back into the England.
It breaks my heart.
Starting
honestly.
A new club. Eddie Jones, we know, doesn't like him. He's always, you know, he's warned him time and time again. And what does he do? goes and gets in a
fight. But I actually think that maybe Johan Ackermann could just be the right coach for him, because I don't think Johan Ackermann will put up with any of this nonsense, and I hope he gives him a good slap on the wrists, and because I still think that Danny Cipriani is a great talent.
Yeah, as was shown by his recent form at the end of that South Africa series, he brought that little bit of unknown, that little spark
that England
need at the moment. Let's get the thoughts of Stuart Barnes, former England fly, on what he thinks should happen next with Danny Cipriani.
Eddie Jones talking about Cipriani before South Africa was adamant that he was talking about the Cipriani in front of him. He said he wasn't worried about the historical baggage as how he behaves in front of me. And Cipriani behaved immaculately throughout the tour, and he took his chance superbly on the pitch. He's a guy who does have a love of life, and that isn't always a bad thing. You don't want a squad of automatons.
Well, you know him well, Stuart. I mean, you interviewed him, didn't you, on that tour of South Africa. I mean, speaking to him, you say he's a man who loves life, but how did he come across to you? What, did he get the impression that he was determined to take his chance on this tour?
Well, what I felt talking to Danny Cipriani was there was an increased maturity. He's never been as immature as people said, but there was a real maturity to him, and he showed that on the field, and he was definitely determined that he wanted to take his chance. You know, he could have got a lot more money going to France than England. He wants to be involved in the World Cup. And as I say, on a personal level, I feel that Danny Cipriani is still firmly in contention for this England squad. Unless Eddie Jones was really appeasing us in the media when he took him to South Africa, and he doesn't want him. Other than that, I think Cipriani has to be named in the squad for the coming autumn because of his form last season and his effort for England in the third test.
As a Cherry and White fan, let's wait and see how Cipriani fares in the new season of the English Premier League, which I think is under a new name this year. We'll bring you more details and build up of that. We're here on The Grill and Sport Tonight in the weeks to come. As you said, it's not been a great week for those in on the naughty step, has it? We had George Smith, whoever that said, you know, apparently he's said, don't judge me on this one incident during on my entire career. Yeah. But obviously he's spent 21 days in prison or something. Over there,
correct,
for that.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, so it was not a nice situation for him, and as you say, he's really lost a very lucrative contract through that, Tom. But speaking about the Cherry and Whites, your team looking pretty good for this season, I might add. You basically imported half of the Lions squad from South Africa, but some very, very good players. And let's hope, as you say, Cipriani can keep himself out of trouble, because I definitely think that you guys have got a very, very good chance this season.
It works for Saracens, it works for the Cherry and Whites. let's hope. Another man that we need to throw into the mix as well is former Australia Rugby League player John Hopoate, who's been banned from the sport for 10 years. After being found guilty of a very serious charge arising from incidents during a minor league match in July. He's now 44 years old, John Hopoate. He faced several charges, including using offensive language, acting with aggression after playing for Narraweena against Forestville. He was penalised for a high tackle, then sent off for throwing a punch. Hopoate was then accused of threatening his opponents using bad language. The former NRL player told the New South Wales Rugby League Disciplinary Review Panel he reacted after being racially abused by an opposition player. Now, this is a man who he's got a bit of a rap sheet on, has he not?
Yeah.
I mean, there is one particular incident that we can't talk about live on air, which you can check it out on YouTube and make your own mind up on about that one. He's banned for 12 matches for poking an opponent where he shouldn't be poking in 2001. Banned for 17 games for a dangerous high hit on Keith Galloway while playing for Manly Warringah. Suspended for a total of 45 weeks during his NRL career. So we can't feel too bad for him.
Should we just call it a forced retirement?
Did you say he was 44 years
44.
Old?
44. Why are you still playing?
Still playing the game. He was a man who could put in a hit or two. Let's just remind ourselves. I think his son's also playing at the moment as well. He's Hopoate Senior. I think Hopoate Junior is also in the mix at the moment. But yeah. Man, could he tackle?
Rory had 21 sets of six. Lulewai.
Well, Hopoate just set himself to sight, the target. Ooh, he leaps into Galloway there. Has he raised the forearm and collected Galloway in the head?
There is no doubt about the contact. Galloway gets it away, or Hopoate with the left forearm.
Deliberate contact, you're offering.
Deliberate contact. John Hopoate.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
4001, thanks so much indeed for your text messages. Some good suggestions of sports stars who've gone on to alternative careers after hanging up their boots. We had a text message in a little earlier on, Tim Horton. We all started scratching our heads going, what, Tim Horton as in cafes Tim Horton and things like that? And thanks to the power of the internet, we found out that, yeah, he is a former ice hockey international, yep. Played for Canada himself, didn't he?
He did, yeah. His Wikipedia page. I couldn't get my words out then. He was. Yeah, he was an ice hockey player. Yeah, but started the Tim Horton coffee
chain. Good call.
Chain, yeah.
Made us think as well. George Gregan, he's opened a successful chain of coffee shops down in Australia. We had Tim Weiss through as well. Apparently, he was part of the Germany squad that came third at the 2010 World Cup. He then turned his attentions to WWE. Not exactly had huge success in the ring, but certainly looks the part as well. So Tim Weiss, former footballer, turned his attention to WWE. Any other suggestions, Carlos?
Nothing at the top of my head right now. Of course, Bjorn Borg, he brought out a clothing range too, which I think is quite successful in Sweden and the Nordics. But that's the only one at the top of my head right
Frank
now.
Frank LaBeouf turned to acting as well.
True.
Yeah, he
true.
Was in The Theory of Everything, apparently, that the Oscar
was it, yeah. Frank LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
He's also a man who sort of thought that he could turn his attention to that. Roman Pavlyuchenko played for...
Did he play for Tottenham?
Spurs, wasn't he?
Tottenham, yeah.
What was
it
with Spurs? They've obviously got a great careers office down there, haven't they?
Yeah.
You're all down there, and then they keep asking the question. Yeah, he went on and became a politician over in his native Russia as well. So apparently he's a politician in the current reigning party, part of Vladimir Putin's party as well. So another man who turned to politics.
GG Espresso is the name of George Gregan's coffee shop chain.
Of course it is. It would be nothing other, would it, for Greeks? Let's go to football now if we can, because we focused a lot on the Premier League, but there is football to look forward to across the whole of Europe this afternoon. There's a big game, or a couple of big games. Not big games on paper, but there's a plenty of media coverage of a certain game down in Italy this afternoon for one reason
Hello
only.
Hello and welcome to the Allianz Stadium on the eve of a new season in Serie A. Just come out of the press conference, Massimiliano Allegri speaking to the media for the first time ahead of Saturday's game against Chievo Verona at the Marcantonio Bentegodi Stadium, which is where Diego Maradona made his debut in Italy in the 80s, and it is the place where Cristiano Ronaldo will make his debut for Juventus. Cristiano has been training with his team for the last 10 days. He's been gaining some understanding with his new teammates, who he didn't join up with in the United States. He's been playing with the likes of Paulo Dybala, Douglas Costa, the other players who were at the World Cup. Massimiliano Allegri was asked what it's like to coach a champion like Cristiano Ronaldo. He's got experience of that, of course. He's coached the likes of Ronaldinho and Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the past, and he says it's very simple indeed. Some of the things that he's been showing in training just in the last 5 days alone have been wonderful, he says, and he can't wait to get started. He's very curious to see how Ronaldo does and how this team plays, because so far they haven't played all that much together. And we saw last week they played the friendly in Villa Perosa, where Ronaldo played for 45 minutes, was pulled at half-time. And then they played another friendly in-house against the under-23s, which again was just half an hour. So a lot of intrigue as to how those Chievo defenders will be sleeping, or whether they sleep at all tonight, with the prospect of Ronaldo facing them. Allegri only gave us four pieces of team news. Wojciech Szczesny will be in goal, not Mattia Perin. Giorgio Chiellini will captain the side now that Gigi Buffon has left for Paris Saint-Germain. Miralem Pjanic will play, is expected to sign a new contract next week. And of course, Ronaldo will be spearheading the Juventus attack. There's some other themes here today at the Allianz Stadium. Claudio Marchisio, who's been at the club for 25 years, he's from this area. He joined the club when he was only 7 years old. He has decided to go his separate ways from Juventus, which was cause of some debate within the press pack here as to how he was treated.
So Juventus take on Chievo. That one's at 8 o'clock local time here in the UAE. After that one, Lazio against Napoli. Sean O'Shea here in studio with us. Ronaldo, will he make the difference?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Ronaldo deal was great for every party involved. I think it was good for Real in the money, in terms of the money they got for him. It's great for Juventus to sign a player of his calibre. It's great for Serie A because, you know, it hasn't had the best of sort of reputations over the years with the match fix and everything that happened years ago. So it's good for the league. They'll put a lot of spotlight on Italian football. And it's great for Ronaldo. I think, you know, everybody talks about him. I think the same thing has always been said about him at the clubs. Players have always said he's so hard to compete with in terms of his athleticism and his fitness because he's training when most players arrive and he's still training when most players leave. He's just, he's almost like a freak of nature. But I think, you know, as he gets older, he will get a little bit slower, if you like. I think Serie A will suit him. I think he will dominate in that league and he will be the difference for them. You know, they've come very close to winning the Champions League in the last couple of seasons, Juventus. Whether he's the missing factor, I don't know, but they'll definitely, you know, kick on in Serie A. And look, I mean, imagine the story if they win the Champions League in his first season there. It would be unbelievable. I mean, he would be undoubtedly then probably the greatest player in the world.
I just want to turn our attention, if we can, to, I mean, those are the games that are taking place over in Italy. I just want to look ahead to Monday as well. Fascinating game, this one. Usually we don't talk about Monday night games because obviously there's plenty of action before then. But I'm intrigued by this one. Why? Because Liverpool absolutely decimated my team last weekend. West Ham, that is. Liverpool were brilliant up front. West Ham were woeful up the back, but also played a very high line, a very attacking game. I don't really understand what Pellegrini was trying to achieve against possibly the great strike force in yeah, in world football at the moment. Yeah. But let's just say it backfired. I think it backfired. Liverpool off to a flyer and with great aspirations for this season. They come up against Crystal Palace. The reason I'm interested about this is this new Zaha deal for mm-hmm. Crystal Palace. A lot of chat about Wilfred Zaha going into this season. He proved it with the first performance of the season. The fact that he signed a new deal with Palace and Hodgson has sort of promised that he will build this team around Zaha, it's almost that sort of ideal game for him, isn't it? You know, a lot of big clubs came in for him or sort of put their feelers out for him, but nothing was done. So he's committed to Crystal Palace. What better opportunity for him to turn around to all his critics or all those other big teams and say, you missed an opportunity here by scoring a couple of goals against Liverpool?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, for Zaha, it's a strange one because obviously he had a great season, then he went to United, didn't he? He was great at Palace, went to United, didn't really get the run of games that he needed and obviously end up back at Palace. And then obviously there was talk of him, you know, moving on again. But I think it's a great deal for Palace to keep him. But I think it's good for Zaha as well. I think sometimes players just suit particular clubs and he really does suit being at Crystal Palace. And if Hodgson's going to be there for the next two or three seasons and he signed this contract, you know, to be there and they build a team around him, it could be great for him. Like you're saying, if he goes and plays well on Monday, then he's proving everybody, well, not proving everybody wrong, because a lot of people do think he's a smashing talent. But yeah, he's kind of saying once again, like, have a look at what you could have had kind of thing. But Palace have done well to keep him. The other thing I think about signing him on a long-term contract obviously means that if they do try and sell him the next couple of years, it just means it adds a few more million to his price.
The other thing I'd say about it, and I know he comes in for a lot of criticism, does old boy, but it's shrewd business again, isn't it?
It's very good, yeah. I mean, he does get criticised, Roy Hodgson. And I think it's a bit unfair. Like, I think at Liverpool he had a bit of a rough time. He didn't really get given time, you know, to do anything there. But he's, you know, he saved Palace in style, you know, when he came in, and he's done very well with them. But he's very shrewd about him, yeah, definitely.
Roy Hodgson is very happy with the deal he's done with Zaha's people, and he believes that he's one for the future.
Any speculation about him leaving us is quashed. I think it's very, very good that a player of his ability has committed his long-term future to the club. We think very, very highly of him, both as a person and as a player. I think he's got even a sort of talismanic quality when it comes to being from this part of the world and from starting his career at Crystal Palace Football Club. I think all of those things need to be factored in, and we're obviously delighted that he's decided now that, you know, this is where he wants to be, because when you sign a contract of that length and that magnitude, it means that's where you intend to be for the coming years, and it gives the chairman and Doug Friedman a chance also to do some very serious planning around players in the future, and he's a player, of course, we would like to plan around.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're building up to Tottenham against Fulham. That's your live game here on Dubai 103.8. It's round about 12 minutes away before we hand over to all the team at Talk Sports for their coverage of that one. And then straight after, you'll be able to hear Chelsea against Arsenal. So two London derbies for you this evening and a lot to look forward to. Keep it locked here on Dubai 103.8. I want to build up to both of those games in more detail in just a few moments' time. There are four games kicking off at 6 o'clock, so we'll get some team news on the other games. We've heard about Tottenham against Fulham and the changes there. We'll bring you some of the other significant changes in the other games. I just wanted to break away quickly, though, because I can't let this grill go without a quick chat about all things boxing, because boxing, as we well know, is in good... It's in fine fettle at the moment. There's some great boxers out there in the world, none more so than in the heavyweight division. Alexander Povetkin is the shortest opponent I'd reach and the lightest of Anthony Joshua's world-calibre career thus far. They've been involved in one of numerous press build-ups in the last few days. Talking of press build-ups, they don't get much more comical than Tyson Fury's latest. He fights a little later on today. He takes on Francesco Pianetta. The two of them had the official weigh-in yesterday, which was comedy in itself. I mean, can somebody just... Could they not have got bigger shorts for the pair of them as well? I know that both of them are coming down off bigger weights and things like that, but it just... It looked a little bit comical. And then it got even more comical as the day and the evening went on. Why? Because there was a certain gatecrasher that caused a bit of a stir.
Now to chaotic and comical scenes in Belfast, where Tyson Fury weighed in for his fight with Francesco Pianetta tomorrow night.
You could almost predict this was going to happen. WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder gatecrashed the proceedings and ended up having a confrontation with Fury's father, John. Just a warning of flash photography here, brace yourself. It all started in a civil manner. This was a handshake between the two. But Wilder then unleashed his now familiar bomb squad cry.
Shut up! Make sure you win the fight. Make sure you have the fight. You can't be me! You can't be me!
John taunting Wilder there, saying he would be the first to beat him up. Things threatened to get more serious. Security stepped in and ushered Fury Sr. away from it all.
Right, to the bout itself, Fury weighed in for his second comeback fight at 18 stone 10 pounds. His opponent came in 4 pounds lighter. Could do some bigger shorts. Fury's likely to face Wilder next, should he come up against Pianetta. The bronze bomber will be ringside in Belfast tomorrow.
So that's actually tonight. So if you'd like to tune in for that one, then make sure you have a little look. One thing you can promise with a certain Tyson Fury is that, well, he's not shy of confidence or short of it, that's for sure.
What you're likely to see from me is a heavyweight Sugar Ray Leonard on Saturday. Anything less is a failure. So there you are, you've had it. Judge me on that comment. Heavyweight Sugar Ray Leonard. Anything less, no good. If he chins me, I'll crawl across the ring on my knees and kiss his 2 feet. Because he's obviously a better man than me and a better man than I've ever been. Listen, I don't make excuses. If I can beat Francesco Pianetta, I'll beat another boxer. Big deal. But if he beats me, he's going on to something very big.
He's extraordinary. He is extraordinary, that man. And he is a media dream at the same time, is he not? Do we give him a chance? We've got to give him a chance, haven't
we? Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, he's definitely won a chance. He's not short of confidence, is he, at all? He's one of them boxers that he's hard to like, but he's also very hard to dislike as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's very strange. But he's just, like I say, he's a dream for the media. Like, it's pure comedy to watch.
Well, it's actually like, it's like you said with, I mean, you know, with Chris McCarthy, it's interesting when you know, he's a man who loves his boxing and looks at the sort of the sort of science of it in many ways, and he believes that Fury on his day, you know, when he's fit on his day, is tactically the best boxer of them all at the moment out there.
Is that what he said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. McCarthy said that.
Mr. McCarthy, we got him on tape saying that one. So we'll watch on with interest with this latest of comebacks. Right, what we got? 8 minutes left. Time for us to look ahead to the 6 o'clocks. Any big team news that's jumped off the sheet for you, Sean O'Shea?
Not massive, no. Just going through. We were talking about your beloved West Ham. They've made three
not
changes.
Not so much beloved these days, I tell you.
But no, they've made three changes. Bournemouth are unchanged. There's nothing really else coming through at the minute that I haven't seen. As it's starting to trickle through a little bit now, so we'll keep you posted on that. But I wouldn't be too disheartened as a West Ham fan today. I think you'll do all right.
It's just interesting that he's made three. I get sort of mixing things up, and he's brought in Snodgrass, hasn't he? We have seen Javier Fernandez go. He comes up front as well. Pablo Zabaleta comes into the defence. The old gun has replaced Ryan Fredericks, who was one of the signings during the off-season. Yeah. Antonio, who I thought was off the pace last weekend, he drops, as well as does Declan Rice. So he's taken a sort of fairly attacking approach, because you've got Felipe Anderson, Arnautovic and Snodgrass playing in a sort of three behind Hernandez, who's going to play that role up front. I suppose the thing that surprises me is the fact that some of those big guns, Fredericks, Antonio, Rice, they're not even on the bench. They're out of the team altogether.
Yeah, completely dropped. That's a bit of a statement, that, isn't it, to drop them completely from the squad, unless they've picked up Knox or Niggles or something last week. But I don't recall that. But it's a big statement to drop them completely from the matchday squad. But like you say, look, they're at home. They've gone a bit more attacking. I think Zabaleta will just bring a bit more organisation to the back four, which was lacking a little bit last week against Liverpool. Like you said, they played that high line and got caught out quite a lot last week, so I think that's the reason Zabaleta's come back in. But I fancy West Ham for 3 points today.
Let's have a little look at that one. Everton taking on Southampton as well. Mason Holgate is the one forced change for Marco Silva, because Phil Jagielka was sent off last week, so Mason Holgate will come in there. As for Mark Hughes, two changes to the side there. Yannick Vestergaard is ill. Stuart Armstrong is also out. Danny Ings and James Ward-Prowse are in. So Ings's first start since joining from Liverpool. Is he going to make a statement on the South Coast?
He's definitely got the quality too. I think, the you know, again, we talked about players being suited to certain clubs. He had a great season at Burnley, moved to Liverpool, didn't really get a run in the team, whether it was, you know, the manager not picking him, but he also struggled with injuries. You know, had quite a serious injury that he's just come back from. I think he's got the quality too, but I just worry for sort of Mark Hughes' teams. I don't know, they don't play a particularly exciting brand of football, and I don't know if Danny Ings is suited that. I think the club suits him in itself, and the way that Southampton have played football traditionally over the last few years. But I think it's going to be a tough slog for Southampton this year. I hope it's not, because I really like them as a club and what they've done over the last few years, coming from League One all the way back into the Premier League. And you know, they've had good managers, good players, played good football. But I think Hughes was very lucky to keep them up last year, and then to get a permanent contract there. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. But on the other side, I think with Silva there at Everton, I think, okay, they drew last week with Wolves at the 2-2, but I think they'll do really well this year. I think they've got good recruitment. And then we were talking about Rikelsen before, like, he got the best out of him at Watford. He disappeared a little bit towards the end of last season, but I think if they can get him playing well along with a few of the other players, I think Everton have a really strong season.
You mentioned Wolves there. They're unchanged. That's a statement in itself, isn't it, going to their game against Leicester City. Statement, because of course he trusted those 11. They got the 2 points that he needed. You saw what that meant for the Wolves party there. But the fact that their club record signing, who we understand is fit, is still on the bench as well, Adama Traore, yet to start for Wolves. Will they get anything from Leicester today?
Well, look, Leicester are going to be hurting after they lost to United last week, didn't they, in the opening game. And Leicester are typically pretty good at home. So, look, Wolves got a good point last week against Everton. They're unchanged because they've obviously gone and played well. So the manager doesn't believe there's a need to change a starting 11. They've got every chance. I think, you know, we talked about Fulham as well. I think the style of football that Wolves played last year in the Premier League, and the way in which they won the league, they were geared up as a Premier League team, definitely, even more so than, you know, Brighton, Huddersfield and Newcastle, who came up the season before. So I think they've got every chance of getting something, but they'll need to play consistently well every single week. But I think the style of football and the players that they've got every chance of having a successful season.
Four changes for Claude Puel. Defender Johnny Evans makes his Leicester City debut after his move from West Brom in the summer. Jamie Vardy, Mark Albrighton and Nampalis Mendy are also handed starts at the King Power this afternoon. Leicester against Wolves also kicking off in just a matter of moments. In fact, players making their way onto respective fields across the United Kingdom as we speak for those 6 o'clock kickoffs. We've got Tottenham against Fulham for you now, and then straight after that, Chelsea against Arsenal. And what a game to look forward to here. A lot of focus on Arsenal at the moment. Their new man, Unai Emery. Well, he had question marks after the first game of the season. Petr Cech, what's the future for him at Arsenal at the moment? Well, Emery has committed himself to Petr Cech, still has complete faith in him.
I am very, very happy with his performance. And also I think he has experience, he has quality, he has capacity, like a first goalkeeper with us. And also Berlino, they are two goalkeepers important for us. And Saturday the decision is, for me, is easy, because is continuing starting the match Petr Cech, I believe him.
So those are the thoughts of Unai Emery. He is confident enough to face the British media in English already at the moment. Not so Sarri, who he takes on his opposing bench this afternoon. I'm looking forward to this game, because two teams, big question marks going into the new season, big question marks after the first weekend of the season as well, and two styles of play which are going to make for a good game, I think, a little later on.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's ludicrous that Emery was getting, you know, he's already seemed to be under pressure after one game. I mean, to start your season against Manchester City, a club that have had the same manager for the last 20 odd years, you know, if they'd have got a draw or something, then it would have been a great result. But okay, they lost. It's the first game. I wouldn't worry too much about it. And then going into the Chelsea game, it's two very, very difficult fixtures, but you've got to give the man 10, 12 games before you start judging him and putting pressure on him.
I don't think the fans agree with you on Arsenal TV. They came out quite harsh against you after the first game.
I mean, you can't keep Arsenal fans happy, can you? They wanted Wenger out, they got him out, they got Emery in, and they're still unhappy. Like, it's crazy, but it will be. I think, look, obviously I watched the Chelsea game last week because they played Huddersfield, and you know, I don't think we were particularly poor, but they were fantastic. Like the tempo at which they played and the way they moved the ball around the park was absolutely fantastic, and it was something, the sort of brand of football I haven't seen a lot from Chelsea last year under Conte. So I think it will be, it'll be a good, very, very good game. Hopefully, for Emery's sake, Arsenal get some points.
That one's kicking off for 8:30 this evening. There's also plenty of rugby to look forward to. Pumas against Box.
Yeah, that kicks off at 7:05 this evening. The Pumas taking on the Box. That will be live from Durban in South Africa.
Celebration around grounds over in the United Kingdom at the moment. A moment's remembrance, that is. And the clapping continues as we speak. We're going to hand over to all the team at Talk Sports. Not before we've said a big thank you to all of you for your text messages. Thank you very much indeed for keeping us entertained. You can listen to the podcast after the show. Big thanks to all the team down here. Viva Las Vegas. Thank you very much indeed to Vargas over there in the production suite. To you, Sean O'Shea, thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to be down.
CVR, bless you. Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much. Come in the Box.
And we leave you in the capable hands of Talk Sports. They've got Tottenham against Fulham for you. And Mendieta. Gezcan Mendieta, Barcelona?
Juventus. Yeah.
Played at the highest... Middlesbrough?
Yeah, he played at the highest level. You're right.
Juventus, Barcelona, Mendieta. He's given it all up to become a DJ. And apparently he's making millions at the moment on the DJ scene as well.
Excellent.
So gave up the boots to take on the decks as well. Thanks very much indeed for listening. We're back next week. Fingers crossed we'll be live from our spiritual home at Barasti. But for now, enjoy the football. It's Tottenham against Fulham next.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.